guys, what you doing? Can I help?
We're just checking in movies, Dave. Same as always.
Yep, not much to it. I think we're all good here.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, if you change your mind, just let me know. Say, you guys excited for the Friday the 13th episode coming up?
Thrilled.
Are you kidding? I mark it every year on my calendar so I remember to take a Prozac that day.
Oh, Jackie, you're too much. Oh, you want an almond joy? You want it? I got some extras in our last supply run. You can have half, but I need half for later.
I think we're all good here, Dave.
Yeah, why don't you go see what Ryan's up to, huh?
Okay, but if you change your mind, you know where to find me.
What an asshole. Hey, do you know what Ryan's all pissed about? He's been in the break room chopping that petrified birthday cake from last year for over an hour.
You didn't hear? Oh, man. You should have seen Ryan's face when Dave posted this week's schedule. He'd already used up all of his PTO for the year, and when Dave started going on and on about there being a Friday the 13th episode this week...
Hey, that's right. He hasn't been on one the last, like, three or four of these Friday episodes, has he?
Mm-hmm. And like I said, he was not happy when he heard the news, so you might want to steer clear of Ryan for a while.
Good idea. Hey, did you... Oh, no.
What?
Look, Dave's walking over to the break room.
Hey, Ryan, how's it going?
Not now, Dave.
Hey, don't be like that. I'm here to help you with whatever it is that you're doing. You know, Ryan, before we started doing these special film promotions, I never had anything to do, me being an executive and all. People always tease me about sitting around like some kind of pig or something. But now it's different. I can help others and do a lot of things. You know something? I really love the Friday the 13th episodes.
I hate them.
You know, to be perfectly honest with you, I never chopped a petrified birthday cake before, but it certainly looks like fun.
Leave me alone!
Here, Ryan, you want to whatchamacallit? I'll just put it over here, and later, when you're hungry, you can have it. Well, if that's the way you feel, forget it, Ryan! Just forget it! But as store manager, I have to say, I think you're really out of line.
Oh my god!
In the not too distant future of the Neo post-apocalypse, a group of movie fans, led by their charismatic but oafish leader Dave, bring the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Friday at the Lions Avenue and East Sprague Cinemas.
You know, I gotta say, it was a huge coincidence that this movie has a scene in the first act where a guy gets mad at a guy offering a guy a chocolate bar and then he cuts his arm off. It was just a huge coincidence that our episode happened to open with the exact same thing. Thankfully, folks, I'm your host, Dave. It's another Friday the 13th episode. We're back. Thankfully, my arm was severed from my body. Chad was able to reattach it. I'm all better now.
Yeah, Jason X style.
Ryan has been reprimanded. He's still on the episode, but he's been reprimanded. Ryan, why don't you say hello?
Oh, hello. Hey, I'm here.
Yes. You're coming up with a quote.
We've given him one of the Prozacs that Jackie mentioned.
Yeah.
Speaking
is this
of,
how
we're
people
also joined...
usually feel? This is amazing.
We're also joined by Jackie.
Crap my ass.
And Michael.
Girl, you are so hot.
That was the waitress talking to herself in the mirror before she gets murdered by not Jason.
It's showtime.
Showtime. You know, when you take your clothes off, you look at your boobs in the mirror and you say it's showtime.
Yeah,
why not?
It's showtime.
Apparently, this is from the ChatDB. There are several bits of interesting trivia from the ChatDB, but evidently that moment came from the actress having recently seen All That Jazz.
Oh, perfect.
And she thought, hey, would it be funny if I just said, showtime?
Well, I thought you were going to say that moment came from the actress having seen her boobs for the first time.
She was like, wow!
For the first time.
Oh, no, it's from, Rory Schneider says it every morning. And then, and then it's taken to Saul Goodman. Showtime.
Well, speaking of showtime, Friday the 13th, part 5, it's a new beginning, guys. We haven't gone to hell yet.
Just kidding.
Although, after watching this movie, you may think we had. Friday the 13th, part 5, A New Beginning. Just a little background. This is universally regarded as one of the least liked entries in the franchise.
You don't say.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's not good. Because it's not a good story and the characters aren't good.
Even for a Friday the 13th movie, it's kind of funny when you look at the trivia, it says that while this was technically a financial success, critically, it was even more hated than the typical Friday the 13th movie.
I mean, who cares, though? Like, if I'm working on these movies, like, the critics never like them. This isn't for the critics.
Yeah,
this is a cash grab.
Yeah, but even by that standard, it sucks.
Yeah.
You can be a cash grab, you can still have fun, because as we see in the movie right after this, when Jason lives, they have a lot of fun, and so
that's
do I watching that movie.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
and even the one before this, whole lot of fun.
But this
probably
one,
the
is,
one there is
this one is just is, icky. Doesn't feel good.
Yes, I was gonna say this one simultaneously feels like the tamest Friday the 13th and the grossest.
I don't think
Friday
it's the tamest. I think like two might have been. Was it one or two? I don't know. There's a couple of them that like I feel like I was surprised at how little we get. And we get some stuff here.
We get some
pretty gnarly
kills,
deaths.
There are so many kills. There's like 18 or 20 kills, I think. But like, I would say 85% of them are mostly just
zoom
cut to a hand
in
the air. Yeah, like close-ups on
faces.
But
that's how they always are, to be fair.
No, some of them get, you know, kind of gooey, kind of...
They don't usually get gooey, though. I think as someone who's been watching these, like, along, like, one of the things that has stood out to me is how, like, little gore there often is, but and this one I will say, like, to its credit, we get like eye goo stuff happening. Like, there's
I guess it's subjective.
There's no corkscrew though.
There is no damn corkscrew.
There's no corpse goo though.
Corkscrew.
Ted, where the hell's corkscrew?
Oh, corkscrew. I thought you said corpse goo.
Yeah, that's what people say, corpse goo, all the time.
Well, in relation to this movie, I'm like, I guess that makes sense. Corpse goo.
Coagulated blood is corpse goo.
That's what I call, yeah, coagulated blood is corpse goo.
I'm a doctor. Corpse goo. I think, I don't know, like, I really think what it is, and the reason why maybe people don't, even if there's the kills are not as, maybe not as showy, is because we're not seeing our good buddy, Jason Voorhees, doing it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And that's the part of the fun, is like seeing that stupid idiot lumbering around.
That old stunt man in a jumpsuit.
Instead, we get just hands and feet.
Yeah, it's so like anticlimactic. In and of itself.
That's the
There's
worst.
No one to root for.
Probably the worst the thing kids. About the movie is how they like handle.
It's just anticlimax after anticlimax.
Yeah, I mean,
you can't
and it's
root
like
for the kids. You can't root for Jason.
And it's so obvious, really like where it's
root
going.
For Tommy.
Like.
You think it was obvious that it was the paramedic?
Yeah, it's like, we were like joking about it, watching it. Like, the first time you see him, it like lingers on this like random guy who's like being really weird around.
It's like, I wonder if he's going to be important.
I don't know. I seen this movie before and I did. I was like, who's that? Like, I was just like.
You talking to me, Sheriff? Huh? Oh, I thought you was talking to me.
No, Roy, it's okay. Go ahead. Get them out of here.
I think they...
I knew that...
You probably saw it as a kid.
No, I saw it with Dave. He's freaking put the slap down my throat before.
Hey, Dave makes the best slop.
I'm imagining you and Dave living together like the hillbillies in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm the dildo.
Eat your slop, Ryan.
You big dildo. Eat your fucking slop.
You dildo.
You're just riding around on a motorcycle.
See, that's the thing is that there is some colorful characters in that movie, and that's what probably saves it, I'd say.
Oh, but they're...
Well, that's what makes it memorable in any way.
It's memorable, but, like, not
It keeps your
good.
Attention, but I don't know if it's good.
No, it's not good, but it's just, like, a new level, a new low of, like, trash
yeah.
that the series
it is,
enters
It feels like by... off the charts if you were like ranking, you know, if you're looking at a graph of sleaze, this one would be yes. like off like the scale of the previous movies. Like, this is such a sleazy movie.
I mean, it does make the concept of just the original concept look tame when it's like, oh, there's teens at a summer camp sneaking off to fuck each other and then they kill her. And this, it's like, it's some teens at a halfway house for horniness, and then there's a murder.
Well, you never know why it's a halfway home. You never know why any of the other kids are there.
I know. Tommy killed a famous murderer when he was 10, and then
it's pretty clear. One guy has a stutter. Violet's really
goth.
Into Violet. Probably was depressed at
there's
one
like
point.
A punk girl.
Yeah,
she's in like Joy Division. And
she's
stuff.
She's too cool.
There's some horny kids. There's a fat guy. And
yeah,
then there's
a fat guy.
And
he's
then there's
fat.
An axe murderer.
These are all clearly people that need to be contained.
And then there's a little boy who just hangs around.
His grandpa.
His
works
grandpa
there.
Works there. You know.
Yeah.
Doesn't want to give kisses in public.
I wanna know what kind of accreditation Pam and Matt have to be doing any of this.
Yes.
Is Pam the final girl?
She is. Another anticlimax.
What
it's like,
to
okay,
the,
I guess we're with Pam now.
What's the guy? Where did he happens to him?
He gets like
no one
you
knows.
See him as they're running through, they're like,
he gets killed off screen.
Killed off screen like a lot of other people.
Yeah.
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 He has like a.
It is cool. I do. There
head.
Is a cool kill off screen that does come back around that I think is cool, which is towards the end where the kid like walks into the room and there's just all the dead bodies like piled on top of each other. Like, I think if that's.
You like that?
You like that, you sicko?
You sick fuck.
Sicko?
I didn't think I would be defending this movie, but. Here I am. It's so
this
wild that like I think maybe Red Letter Media has talked about that. I've heard this somewhere that's just like kind of pointing out like, isn't it wild that like Friday the 13th movies were put out by Paramount, like a major studio, especially like Paramount at the time, I feel like is like stereotypical like the classy movies, but this one in particular is
well,
like
you gotta hit all the quadrants.
It
and
is
one of those
wild
is sleazy.
Paramount put like this came out of Paramount and not like I don't know, like Toby Hooper's basement or something. Like,
well, evidently, yeah. There's. It seems like there's kind of conflicting reports. Evidently, the main producer of this, Frank Mancuso Jr., left, and I think he ended up becoming the head of Paramount. But he had said that he often clashed with the director of this movie, Danny Steinman, who, if you're unaware, His previous film credits, I don't have them pulled up here, but one of them was straight up just a porno.
Okay. Well.
And from all accounts, allegedly, this guy was a creep. And just insisted on more nudity. He's like evidently Frank Mancuso Jr. was just like, that guy did not make a horror movie. He straight up made like a softcore porn movie.
I mean, yeah, that's the vibe I got.
The scene where the MPAA just destroyed the whole reason for the scene being there was not a moment of horror or too much blood or too much graphic violence. It was a love scene. Some people knew that I had shot a pornographic film. We had a good-looking guy, a good-looking girl. I think it would have been something that the audience would be able to relax for a while and watch two people just having fun with each other. Instead, there's a guy watching, and our attention turns to him, and then basically he dies. And then when we go back to the love scene, it's over. It never happened. It just never happened.
The sex scene that we see in the movie is only 10 seconds, but it was supposed to be like 3 full minutes.
Oh, God.
Man. Cool.
It felt like
evidently
it
went. The guy, the director was just so, like, if you watch him in the special features, he looks scuzzy. Like, when you watch, he's just, evidently he was like doing rails of coke throughout the production, high off his ass. And supposedly during some of the scenes, the cinematographer had to step in to direct because the guy was, quote, high off his ass.
I mean,
I can see it.
That
to give you an idea of the making of this movie, and it's also funny when you look into other trivia. It's not just the director. Evidently, there's quotes saying that heavy, and it's quoted as on ChatDB as hardcore drug use was rampant on the set.
I mean, in their defense, it was 1985.
It was 1985, and they're making a schlocky horror movie.
I think like union contracts for film in 1985 included yes. payment in cocaine.
Yeah. You get a couple lines a day.
Per diem.
Yeah.
Yeah, right next to the Twinkies is the cocaine.
Yeah, in the Best Boy.
The craft service table.
That's what the Best Boy was named after, the guy that had the coat.
Yeah. Everyone was so excited to see him. He's the Best Boy.
You know who's not the Best Boy is Tommy Jarvis.
Yeah,
got problems.
So let's get into the plot of this movie. This is picking up. We've reviewed a lot of these movies out of order. So just as sort of a recap.
So yeah, what has been done so far?
So we have, this is following Friday the 13th 4, the final chapter, the famous one with Corey Feldman and Crispin Glover, where they defeat Jason, he dies, and that movie ends with Corey Feldman going nuts and chopping Jason with the machete at the end to ensure his death.
And I would say is probably, other than the first one, is like they kind of like it's using the tropes, it's having fun. Yes. It's probably the epitome of these movies.
Agreed.
So number 4.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 4 and 6 so far have been my favorites by a mile.
Yeah. But I'm just saying like up to this point probably where it's like these movies like they were relatively new, I would say, slasher movies, and this is like now we're able to have fun and scares at the same time.
And I mean they did one a year for 5 years at this point.
Yeah.
They were
this is like Madden.
Doing it.
Four was supposed to be the last one, hence the name, the final chapter. But after it did very, very well at the box office, they're like, well, we got to keep this money train going, right? So that same year in 1984, they started production on this movie. And it does follow the events of the previous movie. Tommy Jarvis does come back, albeit he's a lot older. He's now in like.
Well, we get a special appearance by Corey Feldman.
Special appearance.
I guess that's true. Yeah, I'm getting ahead of myself. The movie begins with what looks like a flashback or something. We find out it's a dream sequence.
Didn't they like shoot that in like Spielberg's backyard or something? Is that why? Am I
Nope. It was filmed in Corey Feldman's parents' backyard.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Corey Feldman does return for this movie, albeit only a cameo. They filmed it in his backyard on the one day of the week that he wasn't filming The Goonies.
Okay, that's what I got mixed up. I was thinking like it was Spielberg's backyard because they were shooting.
Yeah. Something. They brought a rain machine. They filmed in his backyard. And it's this little scene that when you watch it, it kind of gives you an idea of how stupid this movie's going to be. Like, you see the tombstone of Jason.
It looks so shitty.
It looks so shitty. Like someone scribbled with like white marker Jason Voorhees, like clumsily. And right away, you're like, something's off with this movie.
Well, it just,
well it's a dream. You know?
We're watching it. And then I turned to Michael and I was like, okay, Jason's going to come and slash it to Tommy Jarvis. And then he wakes up and he's no longer, he's older because they can only afford Corey Feldman for a couple hours. And then that happened exactly beat for beat. And I swear I've not seen this movie before.
Feldman was down to come back for the whole movie, but he couldn't because of filming conflicts with Goonies.
I mean, too big a star for this piece of shit.
He would have come back. Yeah, he was a star at this point. I mean, he had been in Gremlins the year before as well, so his star was on the rise.
I don't know if you guys noticed this, but while we were watching this, Jackie and I were chatting, and she had not heard of Corey Feldman's music career. We went down a little rabbit hole. That was fun.
I know that you two were really, really engrossed in the film, so you probably didn't notice, but we watched some of his music videos. What a talented fellow. What an interesting guy.
That's one word to
describe guy, yeah.
What a really interesting person.
I mean, him and
Crispin
Glover are kind of like two peas in a pot. Kind of. You know?
In some ways, sure.
Do you guys think that this movie would have been better if Feldman was in it the whole way? I mean, it would have had to have been drastically altered.
Like, you think like, he sent to the
he could have been like the character, like the kid that we get.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what are you asking? Would this movie have been better if it was a completely different movie? Yes, obviously.
I guess that's a good point.
I mean, if it's the same movie, but Tommy's just a kid.
Gets sent to like a mental institute or something.
I don't think it would have been really much different at all. I don't think like Corey Feldman's like performance was carrying anything here.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, it probably would have been a melding of the Reggie character and Corey Feldman.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just Reggie would have been Tommy. I mean, I do think one of the weakest parts of the movie is the Tommy character. Yeah. Like, he sucks. He's like a nothing.
Barely in it.
Although it is funny, like I did notice, like there's a couple points you see Tommy shirtless, and he's like shredded.
He's
like
so
he is
shredded.
Like a really in shape dude.
Well, it seems less like he's. I mean, I guess he wants to be ready if he ever has to fight anybody, but it's like it feels more like you don't exactly go into like you don't train to box Jason. You know what I mean? Which seems to be more what he is training for.
You would think
for.
It is weird. Like it, but yeah, and like the way he carries himself, he's like trying to play like a, I don't know, like a dumb mental inpatient, you know, or something
like. Well, it's
like,
funny because in the trivia, they say the actor who played this role. So when everyone signed on to this movie, they initially thought it had the name Repetition. They did not, when the actors were auditioning for it, it was under the name Repetition, and they didn't realize until they were there filming the movie that this was actually a Friday the 13th movie. Apparently, a lot of the actors were disappointed that they were in a Friday the 13th
movie.
Oh, wait. Like, oh, that's what this is. And the chief of which being the lead actor who said he researched for many months working in an actual mental institution to get his character down. And when he found out he was in a Friday the 13th movie, he was like, oh, no.
Sorry, kid.
And barely in a Friday the 13th movie at that. So to continue with the synopsis, the lead character, in this movie is Tommy Jarvis from the previous film. He's been in a mental institution after going crazy and killing Jason. He's now being put in this halfway home as a way to reintegrate him into society. And then obviously the crazy, let's just talk about it right now. It's the elephant it's the Vic in the room.
That was the fat guy
where he gets hacked to pieces. That is like, aside from the overall sleaziness of this movie, that is the one thing that this movie has going for it, because it happens in the first act and it is completely unexpected.
It's like, it's kind of what I was like thinking about, like when I was pushing back a bit about someone was saying this movie was like a little tamer than the other ones. Like, I feel like this is the most fucked up thing we've seen in this series so far.
Somehow it not being Jason makes it gnarly.
Yeah. And it's just like such an escalation, and like it's so brutal.
Well, it's kind of weird because it's like, both, are we supposed to feel bad for him? Are we supposed to hate him because he's like, I don't know, it's like, are we I don't know what side I'm supposed to be on.
It does feel like as soon as we see him, they're not playing like a doofus trombone, like boop, boo, doo, boo.
But they might as well be.
But that's like implied.
He has like chocolate stains on his lips.
I think we're supposed to point and laugh at him, but I don't think we're supposed to want him to die.
But we are supposed to understand that he's annoying and gross and...
he's fat, Jackie.
Yeah, and that by itself is kind of a mental illness, much like horniness and being boss.
In 1985, it certainly
it's too bad he was killed because he really would have thrived in the big dogs era of the 90s.
Yeah.
But are we spoiling up top the quote unquote twist of this movie?
Oh, I think we already did.
Well, we did, but I want to say, like, it's with him and a lot of the characters, like the dudes in the van, the enchiladas and the...
completely non-sexual.
And hey, like baby. With the couple at the diner, like they are like we're
the greasers.
Introduced.
Don't forget the greasers.
Yeah, the greasers were introduced and they're killed like automatically.
In the same scene.
In the same scene. Every time. And this kid too. Like there's not like you should have him being made fun of or whatever earlier and then like at least one scene later. Like he gets killed. It's like in the same scene. So I don't have time to get either like feel bad or hate this kid. Like it's all within the same. It's like a spike. It's like a weird. Yeah. Like I hit a wall with my car. I don't know. It's like. Well,
it's not a bad metaphor.
I don't know.
It's like really the only character we get any sort of introduction with is Tommy. It's like okay, he's been in a mental institution. He killed Jason in the last movie, and he's messed up from it. Okay, none of the other characters get introductions of any kind, other than okay, that guy stutters. He's the fat guy who's annoying and eats chocolate all the time.
And there's a couple girls, I guess.
I mean, I don't expect a lot from these movies, like character development, but like there's not like one establishing scene at all for anybody.
Well, like,
there's like the mayor or something at some point. There's
the mayor comes in.
There's like this random scene from a cop movie where the mayor is reaming the police chief. Like, you got to find out who's killing
him.
It's your
back,
ass in the line.
Really.
It's like, where did this scene come from?
I don't care if you have to put your fucking mother behind bars. Get me the goddamn psycho who's responsible for this mess. I mean, shit, Tucker. What the hell's going on here? I mean, this is a small town, man. And small towns are supposed to be safe. Your ass is on the line here, Tucker. Are you getting that? You get me a goddamn live suspect.
It's funny. I feel like some of the characters we get the most of are the like hillbillies.
Yeah.
Oh God.
And we see them a lot.
And again, it's like, sure, this is a loud, colorful, memorable character, but it's not good or interesting or well written.
Yeah, it just feels like sleazy.
Yeah,
it
just
feels
like another mean joke in a collection of like mean
you know how
jokes.
Poor people are.
Talking, you keep quiet.
Morning, Ethel. My, don't you look lovely today?
Poor shit. Now, Sheriff, you better hear me and hear me good. I want this loony bin closed down. Do you hear me, fella? Now, these kids ain't nothing but trouble. They don't respect others' property, and they're all crazy.
You tell them, Ma!
Ethel, these kids weren't doing.
Doing? Doing? You think I don't know what those two perverts were doing in my yard?
Say it like you mean it, Ma.
Would you shut the fuck up?
I don't know. They're like a.
He literally makes that noise. Yeah. And these characters. Okay, so we'll get to the hillbillies in a minute.
It's a very, very Dennis. Randy Quaid coded character.
Not Dennis Quaid.
Yeah, not Dennis Quaid. Randy Quaid.
But anyway, like, to finish out the synopsis, this kid gets killed. The chocolate kid
gets
killed.
Chopped up with an axe.
Chopped up to pieces.
Oh, and that kid is not cutting that wood right. You know,
you have to cut that shit. No, he's just making wood chips.
That man
is not cutting that wood right.
You have to hit that thing at an angle. He's going straight at it. That's why he can't get through that thing.
He just wants to use an axe, I think.
Yeah. He's not really trying to do anything. Yeah.
Venting out some frustration, as we saw earlier before the mic started recording. Ryan. Yeah. But, he gets killed, and it should be noted that the killer in this movie, the ambulance driver who shows up, we find out later that he is the father of Joey, the deceased. He goes on a kill crazy rampage using the Jason persona to cover up his crimes, I guess. The odd thing about this, other than what I just said, is that
they made it up
he
on the
never
spot.
Kills the guy who actually killed his son.
Yeah.
That guy just gets away. He's like, all right, I'm not going to kill the guy that killed my son. I'll kill everyone that was standing around in the area.
And it's like your son who you, like, I guess, abandoned and don't...
Well, he was fat.
Well, yeah, he has the...
It was 1985. Okay, I'm a fat
You got to send him away.
It's, yeah.
That stuff is crazy. It would make sense. Like, that idea is if he... Maybe he's the cook at the camp or whatever.
Yeah.
And then maybe he's noticing all these kids making fun of his son for so long, you know, and then one of them gets like that motivation, you'd be like, okay. And then that would be a thing. Now instead you're just like, who? What?
Sorry,
what?
Ryan, I can't hear you over the coke I'm doing.
can we get another big pair of tits in here? Please.
Can we get a shot of a naked lady in dirt?
It's showtime.
Look, I'm all about naked lady in dirt. It's cool, you know. Hopefully she's alive, but I'm just saying they made this up on the spot. They had
this movie, there were several scenes like so one of the many non sequitur scenes where new characters are introduced and killed in the same scene, the greasers.
The fucking greasers. Scene that
immediately follows Joey getting killed and Roy looks menacingly into the camera like that.
The funniest.
I swear, this scene was not written.
This scene is insane. There's a moment where I was like, what is going on here? And it's when the guy. So there's two greasers. One is like in the car, and the other one's like pop the hood of the car and working on
it. Little greasers.
Yeah.
They're wearing the
same thing.
And their jackets, their little leather caps. It's, you know, how people do. Yeah.
So one of them goes to like, he's like, I'll be right back. I'm going to take a piss or whatever. And he like.
No, he says, take a dump.
Take a crap. Does he? Is that why? Because so the whole time I was like, why is he walking so far away? He's like we've all been there. You know, you go to like, you know, if you're gonna do something on the trail or whatever, you just go to, you know, walk out of view politely and do your business, come back. But this guy goes on like a hike into
he's
the
like,
woods.
It's gonna be loud. It's gonna be a
you
loud
need time
one.
For the ch-ch-ch.
Yeah.
You know?
And then they're immediately murdered.
Crap my ass. But it's they're immediately murdered. But as
how is he not? If he was taking a dump, how do you not murder him while he takes the dump?
Because that's stinky.
Oh, and they already have that scene in this movie. I forgot. There's already a scene where someone gets murdered taking a dump.
Yeah, we can't have two poop murders.
We can't have two. That's one too many. But no, what I'm getting at is like. This scene, I swear to God, this scene was not written. This was made up on the day. And you could tell the quote-unquote song that this greaser is singing when he gets into the car. He's just making this shit up as he goes.
Oh, yeah. That was cringe.
Even just kind of their back and forth dialogue, it's a whole bunch of like, fuck you, you fucking asshole, you idiot, you fuck. And it's like,
fix the car, man.
This doesn't feel like someone wrote this.
You fix it. No, you fix it. You're the one always tinkering. No, man, I'm going to go take a crap.
Reliance on just like, and I like saying fuck as much as the next person, but it feels very much like a couple people vamping and like trying to pad for as much as they can, which is what most of this movie feels like.
What is this movie? 92 minutes? 92 minutes.
That they like, you know, you think, you know, it's a porno director that did this. Are we sure that this wasn't like a porn that they like made into a Friday the 13th movie?
You think there's like an unedited
movie.
Like the unedited version, these greasers are like having sex and this is just like the dialogue.
They blow each other and then
Friday the This was a Friday the 13th movie. Supposedly, Danny Steinman, the director, said he put in a lot more nudity and sex scenes in an effort to hopefully the MPAA would focus on those and leave the gore violence alone.
Oh, that's why he did it.
The corpse goo, if you will. But the funny thing was, I guess that Paramount themselves edited the movie down before it was edited. They're like,
that's
this
so
is terrible.
Funny. Paramount's like, oh god, yeah. We can't release
this.
This
is disgusting.
And I think this got submitted multiple times. I think like 9 or 10 times this got submitted before it finally got an R rating from the MPAA. But
Why do we have this 5-minute scene where Pam goes into the bathroom and take a shower and it's shot in real time and she takes all her clothes off and she turns to the camera and says, oh, my big boobs, and then she gets in the shower? I don't think we needed that scene.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think every woman in this halfway house, you see her boobs.
We see Pam's nipples.
Do we see Violet
through
naked?
Her shirt.
Oh, you don't see Violet. I'm sorry. Okay, Violet.
Okay,
is the only
we don't
one.
See Violet.
And Pam, technically,
I imagine
around.
Like the actor playing Violet, like when asked to show her boobs, just like pulled out a knife, like a switchblade.
So I think Violet might be the one exception because Pam technically is just running around with a wet T-shirt the entire third
egregious.
Act of the movie.
Yeah, it's pretty
egregious. Which in some ways is almost worse than
now,
if she
we don't
if
see the hillbillies.
Oh, we don't see her tits. That's true.
Well, the halfway house specifically. All right, you got me right. Ryan was counting. He's like, no, it was these two characters.
Oh, and
characters.
We don't
see
Demon's girlfriend's boobs when she's singing
to
him in the
porta
potty. She's doing. They're singing to each other through the porta potty, and then she just like lifts up her shirt.
She could have got been getting ready for him to come out. You know?
Yay!
That's the move. I've seen that one.
That whole scene kind of epitomizes this movie, like just, you know, getting killed while taking a shit.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny because, like, that's a scary thing. Like, you know, going camping and needing to poop in the woods. Especially
it's a
night.
Vulnerable
it's a perfect,
time.
It is. And I'm saying the thing is like, they're not really camping. Like, no one's camping in this, really. It's just, like, in, like, a shitty town or, like, they're in, like, there's facilities around in this place. You know?
Yeah, they're just in a kind of like woodsy area.
Which is really, I think, counter to what I think one of the elements that makes Friday the 13th spooky is that, you know, camping can be scary. You're in the forest, you're in the elements, you know, you don't have the facilities that you would normally have back home. So there's an element of danger there that I think these movies are lacking now.
Yeah, I mean, because you're either camping or you're like a younger person at camp, so you're still like, you know, away from your friends or family potentially. Like you're isolated, and then
you're worried about the boy you wanna.
You're horny, but also there's a lake.
Yeah, this doesn't really have any of those elements. Other than I guess there's the horn. He horny.
There's horniness. Well, you can't make a
movie
without
that. Horniness.
That.
Like, again, like, it just, we don't really get a real satisfying, and again, I say this is a Friday the 13th movie, you don't get much with introductions, but even in the last movie, like, you got a decent introduction to, like, Crispin Glover's character, you get his backstory, like, oh, he has this girlfriend that he wants to go out with, or whatever, and they broke up, and now he's super horny. It's like it's lip service, but at least it's something. You know?
That's the thing. Like, it's not impossible for these, this type of movie to just have, even if it's shallow dialogue, to be like, yeah, I don't know, Chrissy. Like, do you think John's gonna show up? I hope so, Tammy. Yeah. Like, he was so worried about the football game. Like, give me fucking something.
Like, you usually put the pieces out on the board. And then, like, maybe you get one or two lines or something from everybody. And then later, there's a few scenes with everybody get killed. This movie is like, throws the pieces on the board and knocks them off right away, you know?
Well, except with the hillbillies. The hillbillies are
interesting.
The hillbillies are almost like the main antagonist of this movie in some
ways.
Yeah,
they start as the antagonist.
Maybe, like, it should have been just, like, hillbilly movie.
That's really what they wanted to do.
I think that would have gave. I don't know. Yeah, that would have been so different too. You know,
there were certainly colorful characters, like to the point where it seemed like more thought went
Texas
into the
Chainsaw
design.
It is.
Oh,
like,
it's very
it
Texas
like
Chainsaw.
It seems like more thought went into the design and look of the hillbillies than Jason. Like the hillbillies,
far more.
They're their wardrobe is covered in various stains and like
the teeth are stained.
Various stains, and like their face is covered with like literal dirt. Like they smushed dirt.
Yeah,
on
and they're
face.
Like you see her like cooking, and she's like spitting in the food, and like
oh,
using
God.
Like
it, that was
her
the
bare
most
hands to like stir the stew.
Yeah, this was nasty.
Oh, God, it was just that was the most disgusting thing in the movie. It wasn't seeing Joey chopped up into pieces. It wasn't seeing what's her face with her eyeballs cut out. It was that stew that Ethel was making. Ugh. It was gross.
Eat your slop.
Eat your fucking slop.
Yes.
Dildo.
You big dildo.
Ain't I make the best goddamn stew in the whole wide world?
Best goddamn stew in the whole wide world, man.
But it just makes this movie feel so dirty and scuzzy and like a little uncomfortable while you're watching it, especially with these hillbilly characters. You're like, what is this?
Yeah.
What is this for?
You need to like hose off after this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's like, what else? I mean, I it made me think, like, what other talking points are there with this?
Well,
it's like,
okay, so we find out that the killer is the paramedic.
Yeah, yeah.
They go through the thing. They do the.
He's wearing a bald head yeah. mask in addition
to
the
hockey
mask.
He went to the
Halloween
store and got a Jason mask.
Like, we get the psycho scene with the guy explaining what happened and all this stuff, you know, with, you know, Norman Bates was his mom, blah, 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 blah.
Actually,
like,
this
just,
is what
like,
happened.
This is what happened. And you get that scene.
I guess
scene.
He used the Jason thing to yada, yeah, yeah. yada, yada.
and then yada, 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 it was his son. Anyway.
Oh, there's something I want to talk about. Before I'll put a pin on what I just was going mm-hmm, on. Mm-hmm. Let's rewind. So there's a scene in when Tommy arrives at the camp and our little kid
Reggie.
He like notices that he has a bag full of masks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which and he's like, don't touch those. He's
yeah,
like,
yeah,
act
yeah.
like you made him or something.
100%. That's got to just be like Tom Savini's. Like, what do you got lying around?
Yeah, and I think like okay. I think it's the only time they're brought up one more time when a guy shows up that Tommy like body slams with one of his masks, right? But it's never really brought up again. Really, we don't see him making masks. We don't see really. Am I guess till the end?
Well, that's supposed to be a carryover from the previous movie where Corey Feldman
yeah.
made masks.
Oh, that's true.
And that's it.
But it's not like there's not really any like those like
yeah you expect
gags,
that, you expect
like,
there to be some moment where he's like fighting Jason while wearing a mask or something
well,
or like
and that's,
something
we, at the
yeah.
very end we have the fake out Jason thing but then the real Jason thing where it's like it actually is Tommy
well, that, yeah, that's,
and
yeah,
he
that was
had
what I was
the
gonna get
mask
into.
With him in
so
the
he does
drawer.
Have the mask and then it kind of ends on him like about to kill
Pam.
And it's like, is that the new beginning that we're seeing? That Tommy is now Jason?
I think so.
What's the new beginning?
I think that's the
supposedly,
implication.
If you look at the... Well, and that's supposedly how the fourth movie was... That fourth movie ends with Corey Feldman giving this look to the camera like, ooh, is he going to be the new killer?
But that's effective because he did just kill Jason.
And he hacked him away, like, crazily.
And he
yeah.
shaved
and,
his
and,
head and he did the whole fucking thing. And it's like, yeah,
and
this
is
eerie.
That's what this movie, like, you know, backs out of doing. Because it sets up these red herrings, like, oh, Tommy's missing. Oh, we found all these bodies piled up in Tommy's room. You know what I mean? Oh, Tommy has been constantly snapping and body slamming people. Clearly, it's Tommy, right?
No, actually,
and at no point
it's just
are you
some
like,
guy.
No, it's clearly that guy that the camera lingered on while he did the shifty eyes.
Yeah, it was him the whole time.
Just, yeah, and even when it's revealed to be him, you're like, okay.
Oh yeah, okay.
That's the
okay.
worst thing about it, is it's like the reveal, it's like the least interesting person it could have been.
And like, it's like, it's trying, it feels like it's trying to also like harken back to the first one where of the reveal where it's like, oh, Jason is actually Jason's mom.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
again, like Jason's mom is a character in that movie. When she like is revealed, it's like a thing. It's
yeah.
not just like, oh yeah, that old lady we saw twice. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. Like, that was kind of one of my issues with the first movie was that there was no introduction of Pamela Voorhees in the first movie. There's like the idea, there's the Jason Voorhees legend, but the idea of the mom never was brought up until it's like, oh, I guess she was the mom and she explains it. I don't know. But somehow in that movie, I forgive it because she's such a good actress. And that scene at the end is captivating because in ways because it's a little cheesy with that struggle that she has with the final girl in that movie. But I don't know. That seemed more interesting than that. Well,
because it is more interesting.
At least Pamela Voorhees is tied to the legend of Crystal Lake and all that stuff that's established in that movie. In this movie, it's just like, yeah, the kid gets killed. And then I guess you start to think about it. You're like, so wait, the ambulance driver was the dad. He knew this kid was in a halfway home.
He had a recent photograph of the kid.
Yeah, like what? You question it and it falls apart.
Yeah, it's almost like it was written by some sleazy dude on coke.
It just makes me wonder what this movie could have been if they went forward with what they were seeming to do with the last movie. Like, what if Tommy is the new killer? He goes crazy or something. Mm-hmm. Like, what would that movie have been?
Well, we don't know, but we do know that in the next movie, he's at least running around and buying a big rock and some chains to...
Well, and more importantly, Jason's back. He's the man behind the mask, and
he's coming for you. Exactly! I'm always saying this.
I was glad that they at least course-corrected with that movie. They're like, alright, the thing that people like is the giant zombie man
and just
killing,
like,
people in the forest.
Camp in the sense of, like,
sing a song
having
about it, Alice.
Fun with it, and also camp in the sense of, like, there's a summer camp with children at it.
Yes,
so there's
that was fun about that angle.
Six is a high point for me.
But this is just sort of a weird in-between movie where it's just like they're just I think it's really fitting that the fake title that they give this movie when it was in production was Repetition.
Yeah.
Because it's just more of the same, only not done nearly as well.
The working title was Boring Bullshit. I don't know about this movie.
You know, I don't know if this movie was boring. Like, it's not good, but like
it does
captivated
from kill to kill pretty quickly. So it's
like I was befuddled. I would say
confusing bullshit.
You turned to me when the movie was over, Mike, and you said, like, this is the most unhinged of these movies.
Yes, it is. Sure. I think it might be more unhinged than Jason X.
Well, at least Jason X knows it's being fun. You know, that movie is campy as all get out. This movie is just dirty.
Yeah.
You know, sleazy.
It's sleaze. It's one of the sleaziest movies I've seen.
It's more so than that. The sleaziness on screen, it's so palpable that I detect the sleaziness that was going on off screen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, ew. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anywho, I don't know. I don't have too much more. I mean, I do say that I enjoy that scene on the shitter when the guy gets killed because it's so weird and funny.
Oh, don't you love it when you're in an outhouse taking a shit and you're singing to your girlfriend?
Having diarrhea, and then your girlfriend shakes the porta potty and says, let's sing to each other.
That's another scene that's clearly like they, you know, just make a song up. We don't have the rights to a song. Just sing anything. Ooh, baby.
Yeah.
Ooh, baby, baby.
Ooh, baby. Hey, baby. Hey, baby.
Ooh, baby. Ooh, baby. Ooh, baby. Ooh, baby. Ooh, baby.
Hey, baby. Hey, baby.
Ooh, baby, ooh, baby, ooh, baby, ooh, baby, ooh, baby, ooh.
Nita? Hey, girl, what's up?
That was like, that was one of the moments of the movie for sure where I was like, I can't believe I'm seeing this. Like, what?
They put this in a movie.
What is this?
It's just nuts. Yeah, they're just dressed like Michael Jackson, and like they look like the Thriller video. Like, she's like wearing like the girl in the Thriller video is wearing too.
Was that this year? Was Thriller 85?
No, that was 2 years prior.
Okay,
but it would have been funny to see, you know, in the scene that you usually get with these movies in the third act, when like the final person that's alive is running through and discovering all the bodies. If she discovered Demon's body, like, in like he had been swirlied or something, like, that would have been fun.
Yeah, I want to see Jason pick him up and swirl him in that thing. And in this movie, you don't get that stuff, and that's the fun stuff that you get to see is like. Like, yeah, and they're like, oh, they're all scared. You don't see any of that, it cuts away
every time. You get it zooms in on someone's face and then cut.
I mean, you see this guy get impaled.
Yeah, but I want to see like the guy pick. I want to see Jason pick him up. You're right. Flip him around and give him a swirly. Like in
the ones.
Do you want to see like? Scene... Do you want to see Jason in like the Royal Rumble?
Well, yes.
I want to see him throw people over the top.
Look,
the one scene.
My favorite Jason gag of all time is when he picks up the person in the sleeping bag and then like wallops them against a tree. It's fucking amazing.
I think the only real Jason moment we get in this movie is when he explodes through the doorway.
Yeah.
That's like the one thing where he just like,
I love that.
He explodes through that. Literally explodes. Like, it's not like he just kind of awkwardly crumps through the door. That door explodes as he walks through it. Which begs the question, Roy clearly is established as just being a regular guy. He does not have zombie powers. Mm-mm. So, yeah. And come to think of it, I don't think he does anything. Aside from the door exploding, I don't think he does anything that would be superhuman.
I mean, the end of the movie where he like gets up after being run over by a bulldozer.
Yeah.
Is it worth like even having the mystery of who it is when maybe just like, let's follow the paramedic, hear his story, and then he gets Jason powers and then like becomes... Like, wouldn't that be better?
What if he, like, went to Jason's grave and somehow, like, got the powers of Jason?
Yes.
Like, would that be better? I think that might be better.
Yes.
Yes. He makes a dark deal.
That's not sexy, though. That's not... That's... I don't know.
What if we have a girl on the dirt naked, though?
What if a lady goes to change her clothes and she just opens up her dress and says... surprise or whatever.
Why can't it be back? Put it back to like make a big old buff girl Jason, you know, or something.
Ooh,
I'm just trying to say, I'm thinking of a new beginning here. Come on.
Well, supposedly this movie, like their intention initially was this could set up a series of movies where it would be a different killer each time. I don't know.
Jesus,
if that
that's a bad idea.
Just make a different fucking movie.
Yeah.
Or like,
well, and that's, I mean, we've talked about that with Halloween, where it's like their initial idea after Halloween 2 was, we'll make a different scary movie with Halloween as like the you know, sort of the overarching.
I think that's a good idea. I think the Halloween.
That's a better idea. Yeah.
That like Jason is going to be a rotating chair is like insane.
Yeah. I mean, if they were, that's.
I mean, if Friday the 13th was like, we're going to have. Horror movie that's about Friday the 13th, like, you know, the concept of Friday the 13th, something bad is happening on Friday the 13th, that's a fine idea. But like the idea of like Jason being like, it's gonna be a different Jason every time, but it's still Jason.
If it was what if it was a compelling mystery? Like, what if it was somehow written as like interesting mystery?
Still? Was the date of Friday the 13th relevant at any part in this film?
I think not even in the series.
Not in this. Well, in the first movie, Pamela Voorhees goes crazy and starts killing people after Jason drowns.
No, I mean, I know that. I know what that. But like, usually they'll in other movies occasionally be like, oh, and it's the 13th, and you know.
Well, it's Friday. If I remember correctly, it's Friday the 13th in the second movie. But then, as we know, those movies continue on like the next day. So.
Yeah.
Maybe a few movies it was actually Friday the 13th, but otherwise, no.
I guess it's just a spooky day. Okay.
Just a spooky day.
Anyway.
Well, I was going to say, it's not clear if their intention was to have someone don the Jason persona each time, or if it would be a different type of killer, and it's a Friday the 13th type of movie. I don't know. That's unclear. But evidently, their plan was it would be a new killer each time. At that point, just end the series.
Does the tractor is the tractor set up before our little boy rides out in the barn?
You see Vic riding it earlier in the movie when Tommy drives us.
I was
kind of first time.
I forgot that.
Why is there a tractor?
And I was just like, okay, the tractor. Like usually something like that, you at least see it for a second.
Yeah, maybe a line from like one of the adults telling the kids, like, "Hey, don't use
the tractor
without supervision."
Well, it's that it could be that alien scene. Tommy could be like, "I have a class 2 rating." You know what I mean?
Look, I learned how to use a tractor, and
I can ride that tractor. I used to ride tractors in the mental institution. I have a class 2 rating.
But no,
wild shit.
Yeah,
Dave, where does this rank for you in the
pretty low? Honestly, there was a period where this movie for me jumped up pretty high because of the craziness of that one scene when Vic kills Joey. Like that alone for a while for me like boosted this movie just on that. But after watching it a couple times now, and then I think I watched it like once a couple years ago, I think it's just that sleaziness just exudes out from the movie, and I just feel like I get covered in it, and it's gross. And it's it's one of the bottom slots for me. The kills aren't imaginative. Aside from the one shocking moment that happens in the first act, like there's not, this movie doesn't do anything new or creative, I don't think. Like the sixth movie, like we've talked about, is a high point because they're like, they embrace camp. They're like, this series is stupid. Let's get campy with it.
Let's get
have
some songs in here.
Let's bring Alice Cooper in. We'll do a theme song for the movie.
Let's get some paintball.
We're just gonna say right off the bat that Jason is flat out a zombie. Yeah, exactly. It's just like, they have fun with the next one.
It is. It's like the same beginning, really. Like the rain-soaked grave of Jason, except instead of like being a flashback and be like, oops, never mind. It is like he's electrocuted and back.
It also reminds me again of how shitty that grave is at the beginning, because the grave at the beginning of six is the, you know, ancient... Jason's been dead for 50 years.
Like
as grave.
Victorian
it's so
era.
Funny. Yeah, it's like they're exhuming a grave from the 1800s. It's like, oh, is this like movie, a year ago?
You know, honestly, it would have been more fitting if this movie was called Friday the 13th Part 5 Repetition. That would have been a more fitting title than A New Beginning.
You'll
because
never
this
escape.
Feels like more of the same.
It should be called Friday the 13th Part 5. I don't know if that was picked up, but I just...
Coke snort.
I was sniffing heavily.
Yeah.
I just much did a rail of Coke just now. Yeah,
much in the same way that in scripts for The Simpsons, they didn't say dough, it said annoyed grunt.
Yeah.
This is the same thing, only Coke snort. Friday the 13th Part 5. Yeah. Cork snort.
And bad Coke, because like the second one, the one after this is like fun.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, there is one last thing I wanted to put, because I thought this was funny. Getting back to Demon, Reggie's brother, when they talk to him in the trailer park, they bring Pam into the van.
Uh-huh.
And Demon offers her taco, egg roll, pizza. It has sausage.
Pam, are you hungry?
No, thanks.
You want a taco? Egg roll?
Mm.
What about a slice of pizza?
No, thank you.
Cheese and sausage.
Yeah, they went to a mall food court and just like got one of
everything. Yes, an assortment of different foods. Like you mentioned Unhinged, Mike, that was a new element that I don't think I'd ever really noticed before watching this movie. The fact that he offers her a taco, then an egg roll, and then a piece of pizza. Like, what is going on?
They're also like smoking a joint in front of her. And, like,
and Reggie.
And Reggie.
Yeah.
Anyway.
There's like a backstory. That's a backstory I want to learn more about. What's Demon's deal?
Right? Like, what's the relationship between, you know, obviously Demon clearly loves Reggie very much, but what's his relationship with their grandpa and, you know, like.
Yeah. Because the grandpa's like,
I don't know
Reggie.
About that. Why is his name Demon?
Exactly.
Anyway.
Demon could have been the one that Roy goes to talk to be like, hey, I want Jason powers.
Can
you grant me Jason powers? That's why Demon was in town. He had given Roy Jason powers.
He has dark magics.
Well, any final thoughts on Friday the 13th Part 5 Repetition?
Have you all ever talked about the game at all on these?
We have not. No, yeah, they came out with a really cool game on modern systems. It was like, what, 2015 or 16 or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Is that the one where like one person plays as Jason and then it's like multiplayer and like four people play as like people or whatever and
counselors and the objective of the game is to try to escape
survive.
Via phone or via car, boat, or to phone the police and wait until they get there.
And you have like a certain amount of time but Jason's after you. You know,
that's really cool.
And Jason, the person playing as Jason, has like literal superpowers.
Yeah, like it's like they kind of like use the whole him, you know, always on you and crashing through doors as like superpowers basically.
The game is scarier than this movie.
Yeah, it is. And then I was just thinking, because like I totally like, I don't know, I've watched these movies, they were always on TV, and catch bits and pieces, and they're all mushed together in my brain. I'm starting to sort them out now, I feel like, and you know, in the post-apocalypse. But like the name Tommy Jarvis, it never really like stuck with me, like Tommy Jarvis, the name, until that game and how you could like call for him, and one of the players turns into Tommy Jarvis and is like, has a gun, because you don't have a gun, you know, kind of thing. Is that, that's
yeah, he has like a shotgun.
It's and me, can, like, Tommy Jarvis. I have a gun.
Yeah, he like helped. Like, it's just like a way. I don't. How did you? You just like call for him. It's like a thing, and it's like a thing you can unlock, and you become him. Yeah, right? That's what it was. Yeah,
something like that. Or maybe like someone. If like one of the characters dies, you can choose to come back as Tommy Jarvis.
Yeah, or it's like a like it's like a bonus or something. And so that's when that name finally stuck with me. That game. Good. It's a fun. That was a good little game. Maybe it was a little buggy, but it was still fun. Like, it was scary.
It was a little glitchy, but it had a great environment or an ambiance. Like, that was a fun game. I remember playing late at night with the lights off. And this was the only time I've ever been freaked out by the ch-ch-ch. Because it'll pop in at random times. And the game is fun because Jason is in the area, but you don't know where.
They use that tone for, like, the, you know.
Yeah, and when he just appears in front of you in the woods, you're like, ah! And you're like running away. It's that mixture of scared and like fun. You know what I mean? Like, you're scared, but it's also this is fun. Like, oh,
well, you can like hide under like a bed, and then he can see him walking around, and he can like stab the beds and stuff if he doesn't, but only if he knows you're there, kind of thing.
And he'll know you're there if you're breathing. They're in the game. You could literally hold your breath for a limited amount of time, and Jason won't detect you.
That's yeah,
cool ass game.
It's really a very good. It's a little, like Ryan said, it's a little buggy, and the controls are a little.
It's like wonky. But it's wonky's the best.
A little wonky, I would say, but overall, it's a very fun game to play. I'd recommend it.
Well,
like, I, if I'm not mistaken, I think if you have like a PS Plus subscription, it's a free game you can download.
Well, let's go play it and not watch this movie ever.
Yeah, it sounds like a recommendation for not this movie.
Yeah, recommendation for the game, maybe.
No, yeah, this is a non-recommend for me. I would say check out 4 or 6. Those are the high points of the series. Or Jason X. At least that one's fun. Yeah.
I was trying to see if like any of the characters. The reason why I bring it up is like if any of these characters in the game, the Friday 13th game.
There's Joey the fat guy.
Well, you said Tommy Jarvis.
Well, you can play as this version of Jason, I think.
Yeah, it looks like it. It says part 5 like Roy skin. Is what you can be him.
Yeah. They don't have Roy. He doesn't have superpowers.
Do they not have the hillbillies?
Well, I just like you can be. There's all the different Jasons you can unlock.
You should be able to be the hillbilly woman and like throw stew at Jason or something.
They're kind of like all the characters are like all kind of original for the game, kind of it seems.
Sure.
It's more like archetypes.
Yeah, and then but it's just funny because here's the bonuses you get as the Roy Jason. You get starts with 6 throwing knives. Stock ability lasts longer once activated. He can run. This one can run.
Which is odd because Roy, that was one thing I was going to point out. Roy seems to be the first Jason that originates the non-running thing. He walks after his prey.
Yeah, weird, right?
Yeah, what a freak.
That's odd. Yeah.
Yeah, and then he has, but his weakness is he's lower HP and lower chance to be successful with block attacks.
Because he's just a human.
Because he doesn't have zombie powers.
Weaker grip strength and lower stun resistance.
I see. Good to know. Well, I also would not recommend.
You could use that to describe this movie too.
I would not recommend this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It is weird, and you're right. That first chunk of the movie is wild, I would say. So, and I remember you being so excited to show us that, and you're like, "You guys aren't gonna believe this was happening."
You were shocked, though.
Oh yeah,
admittedly, you were like, "What?"
Suppose so.
But yeah, I it's not now that I've sorted these movies out in my head. I don't know if.
It's not one to revisit, but you have to admit, all of you, I mean, Ryan, you had seen it before, but Mike, Jackie, when that moment happened, when he axes Joey in the back, you were surprised.
I was surprised.
Like I said, like, this movie was not boring. I think it was Friday the 13th part 1 or 2? One of those, like, I really didn't like, and I thought was, like...
You didn't like 2 at all.
Yeah, 2. And I think that was, like, boring. And this was, like, not... This is definitely a worse movie than Friday the 13th Part 2, but it was more interesting, I guess, like, which I would, like, I had a more fun time watching this movie than Part 2, so it's got that going for it, I guess, like, it's like watching a car crash, like, you're just like, wow, I can't believe this, and it is only 92 minutes, so, like, but that is not a recommendation. I would not recommend this movie. Yeah, skip it, it's gross. Yeah,
go play the game. In fact, yeah, guys, let's halt the recording. I think we're wrapped up here. I will watch you guys play because honestly, my arm is it feels a little weird. I know I was reattached earlier, but I don't know if I'm ready to start, you know, button mashing.
That's okay.
So
hey,
I'll watch you guys.
Go and put on the tunes. Do you have Jason Lives? He's back. He's the man behind the
Dave,
mask.
I don't want to alarm you, but I don't think that's your arm.
Oh, shit.
That's why it feels so weird. All right. Well, we got some things to work out. We got video games to play. We'll see you next time, folks. We don't have too many Friday the 13th movies left. Should we go to hell next time?
I don't think I've seen that one.
I've never seen him in hell.
I don't think I've seen that one or New Blood.
I think he deserves to go to hell after this movie.
Have you done those yet? New Blood?
We did New Blood. Okay. You missed out on that one. You were on PTO.
I'll watch that on my own.
New Blood was 6, right?
That was 7.
Oh, 7.
Jason Lives.
Yeah, these movies are a blur, but when we return... We will return without the Friday the 13th name. It will just be Jason Goes to Hell, the final Friday.
Hell yeah.
We'll see you then, folks.
Now, I'm going to tell all of you. You mark my words. The next little bastard comes near my farm, I'm gonna blow your fucking brains out. You hear me? Start the engines, Junior!